to AI, we are living through the great cluster hack, and LinkedIn is ground zero. Some people blame TikTok, and there's nothing wrong with that. But actually, the hurtling juggernaut, which is life hacking, has a long and storied past that predates the digital age altogether. The productivity and growth credo that underpins life hacking originally belonged to turn-of-the-century industrialists who enthusiastically embraced scientific management to optimise their factories, their workers, and, of course, their profits. And so successful has this indoctrination been that today, in 2024, great swathes of the global population truly believes that the only way to live a decent life is to treat it like a job. Over the past few years, life hackers have descended upon social media like a vampiric horde, desperate to assuage its collective hunger for gamified zero inboxes, growth hacking, and peeling ginger with a spoon, and plopping, apparently. Pre-2023, the thirst for tips and hacks to optimise the job of life was already gargantuan, but that was before ChatGPT came along. Now it is utterly insatiable. Like a rare celestial alignment, the intersection of life hacking and AI has triggered an explosion of listicles, a paroxysm of tips, and an epidemic of hacks. We are living through the great cluster hack, and LinkedIn is ground zero. LinkedIn content has always been the definition of hack work, namely professional work done to order, usually according to formula and in conformity with commercial standards. But in the last 12 months, my feed has become a cluster hack fire hose, an unending procession of AI proponents vomiting up tips and advice with titles like "Unlock the power of ChatGPT and transform your life," and "Amaze your boss and guarantee your bonus with this one ChatGPT hack." For the most part, I'm sanguine about this stuff. If you really feel the need to let ChatGPT spout motivational quotes at you or organise your inbox or write your emails, then you do you. But when it comes to keynoting and presenting, I draw the line. And this week, someone crossed it. I get asked lots of questions by lots of people. One of the most common is, how do I learn to be as good as you on a stage? It's a question I really dislike. Partly because it's actually a compliment masquerading as a question, and being British, I'm not very good with those, but mostly because what people expect to hear in response are some rules. This is unsurprising, considering that there's already a huge industry of people making money out of the idea that a great presentation can be reduced to a set of instructions. Armed with the Haynes keynote manual that explains how all the nuts and bolts fit together, you can strip one down and rebuild it for yourself. Mod it out with the PowerPoint equivalent of a flamer kit and some fat rims and put a donk on it. This is not an idea that I subscribe to. Anything that implies a keynote or any presentation in front of a live audience can be reduced to a mechanical programmatic playbook is deeply misguided. And I've always felt that by offering advice of my own, I'm just giving weight to it. So when LinkedIn saw fit to spaff me an article by the no doubt lovely and well-meaning Rachel Woods, formerly of Meta and now AI proponent and techno-optimist extraordinaire, which opens with the words, "I'm a more thoughtful presenter thanks to ChatGPT, and it only cost me 5 minutes," things were never going to end well. Ms. Woods continues, "Before I give a talk, I copy-paste my speaker notes into ChatGPT and describe the audience. Then I ask ChatGPT questions like, what emotions are the audience likely to feel throughout this talk? If the audience only remembers one thing from this talk, what would that be? What tough questions might the audience ask me in the Q&A? Every time I do this, I end up reworking the material for the better. Using AI to mimic your audience is an underrated hack. Do you ever wish you knew what your reader or listener was thinking? Well, here's your way to get it." Unfortunately for Ms. Woods, it's highly unlikely that ChatGPT would be capable of mimicking what this reader was thinking, largely due to restrictions on its use of profanity. For what this represents is really the high watermark of the great cluster hack. Not only can your performance on a stage be reduced to a code, now you can use another algorithm to hack it. An algorithm which, let's not forget, has been trained by illegally scraping the original Haynes keynote manual rules already available on the web. It is thanks to these rules that the tyranny of the mundane continues unchecked, and all ChatGPT is capable of is regurgitating them. It's why stages all over the world are currently populated by balding white men with gaily coloured glasses who make the first joke at 45 seconds, pick on an audience member at 2 minutes 10, and then cross the stage, take their suit jacket off and roll up their sleeves at 5 minutes precisely. And frankly, my friends, audiences deserve better. It's worth remembering what the purpose of a hack really means in this context. It means a shortcut, a time saver, a way to avoid the difficult, boring stuff by offloading it onto someone or something else. And this is at the heart of what ChatGPT and its Gen AI stablemates are supposed to become, your co-pilot, something that can do the menial crap, reading, the writing, the image generation, and let you waltz in, put your name on the bottom and take all the glory. And that's why this is so fundamentally and profoundly wrong. Because here's the thing, being on a stage is not a program. It's not an equation and it certainly isn't an algorithm. Actually, being on a stage with an audience is a living, breathing, emergent thing. And it's unique and different every single time. A great presentation is a joint endeavor. It depends on empathy, connection, creativity, and dynamic adaptation. It requires a deep knowledge of your material and your audience, and that can only be gained by doing all the difficult, menial, hard yards work. That work gives you the ability to contextualize challenging stuff for audiences, and they recognize that work and deep knowledge as clear as day. It gives them confidence in you. It enables them to trust you, and if you're very, very lucky, they will love you for it. There aren't many people I've never met that I can confidently say I love, but the legendary Alan Alda is one of them. So I was absolutely delighted to discover that when it comes to this, he agrees with me. Actually, that should come as no surprise. The great man and his writing and performances in MASH were a formative influence on me growing up in the 1970s. In an interview with Big Think, which you can watch below, he explains why he doesn't like giving advice either, how presenting to an audience is really a dynamic process of transformation, and the three tips he will give you if you really, really push him. So, I'm going to join Alda in breaking the habit of a lifetime and give you some advice. The first bit is pretty straightforward. When it comes to advice about writing and presenting, listen to Alan Alda, not the AI mongers or ChatGPT. For the rest, I'll follow Alda's rule of three. Number one, do the grunt work and know your material. I don't mean just memorize it or practice it. I mean actually live and breathe it. Ask yourself honestly if what you have to share is of sufficient importance and quality that it merits taking up an hour of someone's life. If it doesn't, don't. Secondly, remember that when you walk onto the stage, your audience is also asking itself whether what you have to share is of sufficient importance and quality that it merits taking up an hour of their lives. And it is firmly in their interests that you do. Otherwise, that hour could end up feeling like a lost weekend. Most speakers don't realise that the vast majority of people in the audience are willing you to be great, other than maybe your competitor or your sister, or maybe that's just me. They are right behind you, and if you can demonstrate that you're even halfway decent, they will cheer you on. Which brings me to the final and most important part. Belong up there, and make sure that the audience can see that you do. They are willing you to be great, but you have to give them the confidence from the get-go that they are in safe hands, and you have approximately 5 seconds to do it. Nerves and confidence are both contagious. So if you want that audience to relax and enjoy it, you don't just need to own the stage, you have to make it your biatch. That means taking your time on the tech check, wandering around, getting comfy. The problem with the stage is that everyone assumes it's everyone else's, but it isn't. It's yours. Unless, of course, you're on the bill with me, in which case, sucks to be you because it's actually mine. The great cluster hack shows no signs of abating. There are and will be some life hacks that make the world an easier place. I have no objection to Sharpie resurrection, cable tie phone stands, or the pool noodle water hose. But please, don't allow yourself to be persuaded by the likes of Rachel Woods and those AI apologists that ChatGPT is going to enable you to hack your way to a great presentation. It puts me in mind of a famous MASH scene where Alder's Hawkeye Pierce is told he has to carry a gun and eloquently refuses. So, in homage to the original little masterpiece, I'll close with this. I will not hack a keynote, Rachel. When I got into this business, I had a very clear understanding with my audience. No hacks. I'll make a Hackney joke. I'll take a Hackney carriage to Hackney Marshes. I'll raise my hackles, perform a hacker, hacksaw a hackmatack tree, hackety dog, Hakuna Matata. I'll even play hacky sack if you show me how, but I will not, under any circumstances, hack a keynote. I've been K.D. Adamson. Thank you for your company. For more of this kind of nonsense, subscribe to the Future Jacking blog